Well, what a sweet reminder this morning that Jesus is the center of everything that we do. If you don't believe me, you should try coaching 3 and 4 year olds t-ball. You'll quickly realize that Jesus is not always the center. But I did want to say good morning to you and happy Mother's Day to you all. If you're watching from home, I hope that you'll take a minute to tell your mother how much you appreciate her and how much you love her. Again, like last year, I think my mom is watching from home, so I want to take a second to let her know that I certainly appreciate her. I think I'm her best gift to the world. Just kidding. But I do love you, and I do sincerely appreciate you. But you know, Mother's Day is one of the most emotional holidays of the year, if you think about it. In one sense, it is one of those moments where you experience an immense amount of joy. It's a day of great joy. Maybe for you, you got up this morning, you cooked your mom some waffles, maybe fried her an egg, cooked her some, or not cooked her, maybe brewed her some coffee and took it to her bed. Maybe you purchased a card or left her some flowers just to show as a token of your appreciation for her when she woke up this morning. Maybe you're going to spend for the rest of today just honoring your mom and loving your mom, maybe going to eat with her, going to the park with her, doing whatever you and your mom love to do. But for you, today is a day of great joy. Mother's Day is a day of great joy. But for others, it's a day of deep sorrow and it's a day of deep pain. Maybe you're a mom in here today and you've lost a child. Or maybe you're a child in here and you've lost a mom. Maybe you are struggling with infertility. Very, very real thing. Maybe you're just frustrated with the adoption process or the foster care process. Maybe for you, today brings to you a very real sense of grief, a day of deep pain. It's a very difficult day for you, but we hope you know that we understand what you're traveling through. We know that those things are extremely painful experiences, and we want you to know that this morning, our staff, as well as our worship team, took time praying specifically for you. We want you to know that you are valued and that you are loved by all of us here at Eagles Landing. When we say that we grow together as a family, we take that mantra seriously. We do want to be a part of your family. We want you to be a part of our family, and we want to walk through the good and the bad with you. But you know, Mother's Day is designed to be a day where we honor and express gratitude towards our mothers. I think sometimes we forget what the true intent of Mother's Day is all about. It's not primarily about being a mom. It's about thanking God for the mother that He gave you. It's not primarily about receiving honor. It's about giving honor to your particular mother. In fact, originally, before Woodrow Wilson made it a national holiday back in 1914, Mother's Day was actually a day that was set aside for us to honor our spiritual mothers. So I hope that sometime today you'll take the time to not only express gratitude and love to your physical mother, but that you'll also take time to express gratitude towards your spiritual mother in the faith as well. So hopefully you'll take time today to text, to call, to do whatever's necessary to let those who have impacted you spiritually know that you love and appreciate them as well. But if you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be quick this morning, okay? We're going to be in the book of Isaiah. That's the 23rd book of the Old Testament. It's right after the Song of Solomon. It's right before Jeremiah. If you find the Psalms or Proverbs, go to the right a few books. You should land somewhere in Isaiah. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 49. Like I said, we're going to try to do this quick this morning. There's going to be about 2 or 3 verses of Scripture that we cover, but here's the deal. There's only one thing that I hope that you will walk away with today, okay? There's only one thing that I hope that you get out of today. If there's anything that you take away from today, when your mom, your dad, your cousin, your auntie, your whatever, when they ask you, hey, what's the one thing you took away from church today? I hope this will be the thing that you tell them. You ready for it? It's this. The love of a mother is great, but the love of God is greater. I want you to think about that. The love of a mom is great, but the love of God is greater. You see, in life, you and I, we will face many struggles. There will be times in our life where we experience deep, deep valleys, days of deep, deep sorrow, experiences of deep, deep pain. You've traveled through some of this. There's moments when life seems hard, where you long in your life for a better day. We've all experienced a day like this probably in the past year, walking through 2020. There are moments in life where you literally feel like you are drowning under the waves of the world and you cannot catch a breath. Can I get a witness? There are days like that. It feels like we are walking through this madness and we just cannot get ourselves out of it. And in these particular moments, if we are honest this morning, if we pull back the layers of our skin and took a look into the depth of our heart, what we might see is that it's in those moments that we start to think that God has forgotten about us. That He's forgotten about us. He doesn't hear our voice. He doesn't hear our cry. He's absent from us. He's so far away from us, we can't tell if He's even close in proximity. He's just completely forgotten about us. Have you ever been there? I know I have. We pray, it seems like no one hears us. We read our Bible, it seems like we get nothing out of it. We come to church where we're supposed to be able to get closer to God, and we leave feeling like we're further from Him than we've ever been. We start to feel abandoned, we start to feel deserted, we start to feel alone, we start to feel forgotten, forsaken. These are the exact same feelings that are reflected here in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14. Let's read it. It says, but Zion, which is often a name that represented the people of God, so you can put in place of Zion, the people of God, said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. You've been there. We just concluded that. They're walking through a series in their life, experiences in their life, where they truly feel like the Lord has forsaken them. These are His people saying this. They feel like He has forgotten them. But how does God reply? Look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child? Here's a picture of a mom. That she may have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget. Yet I will not forget you. So Isaiah paints a picture for us, a beautiful picture. And it's a picture of the most tender moment between a mother and her child. And I want you to stop for just a second this morning and consider the depths of that kind of love this morning. Consider the love and the care and the devotion and the commitment that this kind of mom has to have to her child. I mean, this mother endured 9 months of pregnancy, right? It's actually 10, but who's counting, right? And not only did she endure 9 months of pregnancy, or 10 months, she also endured strange cravings of wanting to eat pickles and ketchup every single night, right? Or maybe it's a milkshake with her fries, I don't know. But you know what it's like? She endured this kind of life for the past 10 months. She endures the agony of sweating profusely at night, the anguish of not being able to reach her own shoes to tie them, right? She hadn't seen her toes in like 6 months. She endured that. She endured the frustration of not being able to fit in any of her clothes. She endures the labor, the Braxton Hicks, the contractions, and even the delivery. This mother, she endured all of that. And certainly after enduring all of that, she would never forget her child. I mean, could you imagine that? Certainly she would never forget her child. She would never cradle this baby that has been born after experiencing all of that and then sit him down, walk away, and never think of this baby again. You and I cannot imagine anything like that ever happening. It's hard to imagine a mother who went through all of those experiences that she would somehow, some way, wake up one day and completely forgot she had a baby. God is saying here in Isaiah, well, even that is a possibility. He's saying, as hard as that is to believe, it's still a possibility. You guys, you've heard stories. A mom goes shopping. She goes to the grocery store. She goes out to run errands. And what happens? She gets inside the store, and she forgot she had her child in the car. And he's sitting back there, locked in the car, in the heat, and it haunts her. It tortures her to even think those types of thoughts. But these stories happen every single day, and you know what you feel when you hear about those stories. And Isaiah is saying here, even those scenarios, they are possible. But he says, you know what's not possible? You know what's impossible? He says this, God will never forget His people. He'll never forget you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never abandon you. Isaiah says, God didn't just hold us close to His chest like a mom nursing her child. He says, you want to know what God did? He said, look at verse 16. He says, behold, I have engraved you on the palm of my hand. He says, you are engraved on the palm of his hand. You are ever before him if you are a child of God. In other words, you are a part of him. Listen, church family, this should encourage us immensely this morning. Why? Because it reminds us that God is for his people. God's not against you. God is for you. God wants what's best for you, and he wants what's best for his own glory. Not only is God for his people, but this tells us that God is also with his people at all times. That we, as his people, we are incorporated with him in Christ. He will not fail us. In fact, theologically speaking, he cannot fail us because he is incapable of sin. So think about this this morning. If I am in Christ, God's love for me exceeds the love of a nursing mother for her child. Think about that. Marinate in it. Internalize it. If I am in Christ, God's love for me exceeds the love of a nursing mother for her child. Can you say that this morning? Just right where you are, say it. Say, if I am in Christ, God's love for me exceeds the love of a nursing mother for her child. A mother's love throughout Scripture is a picture of the image of God, is an image of the love of God. It's an icon of God's presence. It's a window into the mystery of God. The love of a mother is a tangible embrace of God's gentleness. We learn so much through Scripture about the love of God when we look at the love of a mom. So listen, if I am in Christ, God's love for me exceeds the love of a nursing mother for her child. Think about what the Bible tells us, church family. He tenderly, the Bible says, cares for me. The Bible says that he is my protector. He guards my ways. He works for my good and his glory. He will never leave me, the Bible says. He will never forsake me, the Bible says. He will never fail me, the Bible says. This isn't because this is just what God does. No, this is because this is who God is. And it goes further. The psalmist says, he is my rock. He says, he is my help. He is my shelter. He is my fortress. He is my deliverer. He is my shield. He is my exceeding joy. He is my strength. He is my righteousness. He is my salvation. He's my banner of victory. And he will usher me safely forever into eternity in his kingdom. That's who you are in Christ. The love of a mother is great. But the love of God is much greater. See, our mothers demonstrate their love for us in an absolutely amazing way. You've experienced it, many of you have. But the true, amazing love of God is demonstrated in this. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says Christ died for us. The love of a mother is great. But the love of God is much greater. This week, we had an opportunity to sit down at the table, or Howard, one of our pastors did. Howard had the opportunity to sit down at a table with a group of men. And the ladies were in a Bible study, and he's having a conversation with these men. And one of the guys at the table, they were talking about their stories. And the guy at the table was sharing with him his story. And he said something to this effect. I'm going to paraphrase in my own verbiage, but I'm going to give you the part that I think really makes a difference. Here's what he said. He said, you know, I've been in church all my life. I was raised in the church. I've always been a really, really, really good person. If I ever did something wrong, I was always the type of person that owned up to it and apologized. I never really found it difficult to say sorry. I never really did anything bad. I was raised in the church. I've always loved my wife well. I love my kids well. That's just the kind of guy I am. And Howard said, you know, I just felt compelled to open up the scripture and go to Galatians and show him it's by grace that you've been saved, not by your own works. If it's by your works, you could boast in you and what you've done. But if it's by the work of God, then you can't boast in you because it's what God has done. And he said, you've been so good, man. I agree. Like, ever since I've known you, you've been a fantastic guy. But the Bible says that no one is righteous, no, not one. The Bible says even the smallest things that you've done to offend the heart of God will forever separate you from the love of God. And the only way you can ever get back to God is through the person of Jesus Christ, who took all of your sin, as small or as big as it was, on himself at the cross of Calvary. And if you put your faith and trust in that finished work of Jesus, then you can have life with him forever. Listen, church, for the first time at 82 years old, that guy started to weep and pray to receive Christ right there at the table. Yeah. Howard, who said, I quit baptizing people a long time ago, he said, the guy looked at him and said, well, he said, you know what you have to do next? And he was thinking something else. He was thinking, you need to go tell your wife. The guy was like, oh, yeah, I need to get baptized. I thought that was awesome. He didn't think about anything else. He said, I got to get baptized. You know how you tell your wife? The Bible's only way of publicly declaring your faith is through the waters. I'm going to tell her. I'm just going to do it through the waters. So I thought it was great. So he said to his wife, or he told Howard, he said, well, you got to baptize me. And Howard was like, okay, I think I can do that. And then he said, we walked down the hall, we got the wife out of the class, and we told his wife that he just prayed to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. So Howard said, you know, I sat down, and this is what was really, really cool to me. He said, I sat down with him. And he looked at the man, he said, how could you sit through every sermon that Pastor Trace preaches, and through the past years, when Pastor Tim was here for 30 plus years, you were part of all of that. How could you sit through all of that and never arrive at this conclusion that you didn't know Jesus? He said, Howard, it just so happens that today I recognize that even the smallest of sins is wickedness in the eyes of God. And that wickedness has forever separated me from him. And I thought that I would go to heaven. But today I know that I know that I know that I'll go to heaven. Ma'am, sir, the love of a mother is great, but the love of God is much greater. Yes. We believe that there are some of you maybe in here today, maybe watching online. Man, you're a good person. You've done all the right things. And quite frankly, even the bad things that you've done, they weren't really big, and you sought forgiveness for them. But if you're banking on that for your eternity with God in heaven, the scriptures have a word for you, that no man can come to God unless the Spirit of God first draw him. And the Spirit draws him by first showing him that the sin in his life has separated him from God, and his greatest need in that moment is to cry out for God, to God, for salvation. So we want to challenge you today, if you feel like that you don't know that you know that you know that you have a relationship with Jesus, not because you're good and not because you sought forgiveness when you were bad, but because you cried out for the mercy and the grace of God to do for you what you couldn't do for yourself, and you believe in the finished work of Jesus on the cross, if you are here today and you've never made that anthem the anthem of your life, we're going to challenge you to sell it today. Maybe others of you, you've been a part of the church in the past, and the church has hurt you, it's harmed you. I've been a product of that myself. But here's the deal. Even when the church forsakes you, even when the church hurts you, even when the church causes you to have scars, the love of a mother is great, but the love of God is much greater. God doesn't do it. He doesn't do it. And these imperfect people, we're all alike in one thing. We know we're imperfect, but we're in pursuit of a perfect God. We want to look more and more like him every day, and we can't do it alone. We need you to help us, and we want to help you look more and more like Jesus every day. So if your life this morning is in a wreck, and you're just thinking, man, I'm a complete outcast, right? I come into here, I don't even understand the lyrics of these songs, and quite frankly, y'all are closing eyes, raising hands, applauding. I don't understand any of that. Listen, that's okay. Once we introduce you to Jesus, you'll fit right in. You'll understand exactly why we're doing what we're doing, because you'll experience something you never experienced before in your life. And by the way, Jesus is an experience. We know that. He's not an experience. He's an actual person. But here's the true beauty of the gospel of Jesus. When he lives in us, when he resides in us, it doesn't matter where we walk or where we go, if it's in the top of a mountain or if it's in the bottom of a valley, if life is good or if life is bad, we don't have to go alone because Jesus is right there with us. And that is the greatest joy in all of the world. This isn't prosperity preaching. This is us just literally saying to you that Jesus is the joy of our salvation. And the more we have of him, the better we are here on this earth. And we understand also that without him, we have no hope in eternity. So our challenge to you, moms and dads, is this. Do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is the Lord and the Savior of your life? With every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to close like this morning. The band's going to make their way out. I want to give you a chance this morning, if you do not know Jesus, to have a chance to come to know him. If you're here in the auditorium, I want you to know, I'm not going to come find you. That's just too many people to go look for, okay? But here's the deal. I'm going to pray for you. But if you're here today and you say, you know what? I know now why I came today. I came today because I don't know that I know that I know. I don't know Jesus. I've tried to be good. I've tried to make right decisions, but I don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today, I want to get that settled. So Trey, would you pray for me? If you're here, nobody's looking, just me and you, okay? If you're here, would you raise your hand and let me know so I can pray for you? Okay, that's two. Anybody else? Three? Anybody else? Four? Back in the back, okay. Balcony, I'm looking up to you. Anybody up there? I can't even see you, so God can. All right, here's the deal. All right, there's plenty of hands up. Here's the deal. I would be remiss to tell you the gospel without giving you an opportunity to come to know Jesus. Here's the deal. I cannot pray a prayer and save you. I can't do it. But what I can do is I can lead you in a prayer, and if the posture of your heart is sincere and you pray something like this, you can know Jesus. And here we go. If you want to receive Jesus, you can pray something like this. Lord God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I'm a sinner. Even the smallest of sins have separated me from you. And this morning, I want to put my faith and my trust in the finished work of Jesus. I am asking you to save me. Take residence in my heart, O God. Walk with me and lead me from this day forward. Father, I need you. I want to surrender my life to you from this day forward. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. If there is someone in this room who would be so bold and so courageous, I know this is going to be really, really big, because this is a big old room. But if you just prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you mind standing up right where you are? Anybody want to be that bold? We got somebody where? I don't see. I can't see anything out here. Did anybody? Balcony. All right, praise the Lord. Someone right here. You got someone right here. Here's who I want to do. Praise the Lord. We want to help you take your next step in your spiritual journey. You can go ahead and sit down. We want to help you. But one way you can help us do that is let us know. So maybe what you could do is text the word response to the number on your screen. That's a very innocent, easy way to let us know. You could also find someone with a lanyard on. We're all wearing some similar t-shirts today. You can find someone with that t-shirt on. We just want to know. And what I mean by know is we just want to help you grow in godliness. Listen, we don't expect you to have it all together. We don't have it all together. If you don't believe me, come watch me coach softball, all right? I don't have it all together, right? You call a bad call on my team, I'm going to let you know you call a bad call on my team, right? I think umpires are supposed to be the most perfect people on the planet, and because they're not, that frustrates me, right? All right, some of you know what that's like. All right, so I'll resign tomorrow. But here's the deal. We're not perfect people. We're not. But, man, we love Jesus, and we're chasing hard after him. And we know how hard it is, and we know that when we fall, we got to pick ourselves back up, and we have an army here that wants to do that with you. So we just want to bring you into the family and help you look more like Jesus each and every day as well. But here's the deal. This is a two-way street. You're going to help us look like Christ, and we're going to help you look like Christ. Can we do that? Can we agree on that? All right, good. Let's pray. We're going to close our time this morning. Father, we love you. We celebrate the goodness of our God. God, you're so good. I mean, we've seen for the past month 12-year-olds, 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds pray to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, saying from this day forward, they want to live the rest of their lives for you. And God, we've seen 82-year-olds in the final quarter of their life say, I don't want to waste the next few years. I want to use these few years as the most purposeful years of my life. And I want to do it with a relationship with Jesus, pointing men, women, boys, and girls everywhere to him. We have people in this room today taking an immense amount of courage and strength and boldness to say, this is a big old room, but I'm going to stand before these people and let them know that I want to follow Jesus. God, would you be with those people? Would you help them know that baptism is their next step in obedience? Would you help them know that getting in a life group, being a part of a church family is their next step? They need us. We need them so that we can look more and more like you. God, we owe you a lot of gratitude this morning for what you're doing, what you've done this past week, this past month. You are changing who we are from the inside out. And we want to reach this city. We want to reach this world with the gospel of Jesus. So would you help us do it? Give us wisdom. Give us strength. And help us always remember that the love of our mom is great and is good. But the love of God is so much better. We love you. It's in your name we pray.